Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Abraham, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Brachas Daf Nun Beis. We're on the second line, says the Gemara. V'savri Beishamai. Do Beishamai really hold that the Birchas Hayom Adifa, that during Kiddush, one is meant to make the bracha, Birchas Hayom, the bracha that relates to the sanctity of the day, that is meant to precede the Birchas Hayayin, the bracha of Per Pri Hagafen? Is that so? V'atanya, haven't we learned a brisa otherwise? Now the Gemara at this point holds that Havdalah is equated to Kiddush. They both have the same halacha regarding the order of the brachas. Just as during Kiddush, according to Beis Shammai, Birchas Hayayim precedes the Birchas Hayayin, so too regarding Havdalah. The Birchas Hayayim, which is the bracha of Havdalah, Mavdash ben Kodesh L'Chol, that comes before the Birchas Hayayin, the Bari Pri Hagafen. Says the Gemara, haven't we learned the brisa, which seems to indicate that the order of the brachas are actually in the reverse? Wine is meant to come before the Yayim. One who enters his home on Matzah Shabbos, and he's going to make Havdalah. Says the Braisa Mevorech al Yain. First he makes the Bracha Hagafen on the wine. So that comes first. And then Valamar on the flame, Valabsam on the fragrance. Va'achakach Oymer Havdalah. And finally he says the Bracha of Havdalah. Now if he knows that he only has one cup of wine, and he hasn't yet eaten his meal, and he would like to make Birchas HaMazon with a Koshel Bracha, so what is he meant to do? Says the Braisa, he will go and join them together. He will make a joint ceremony of Birchas HaMazon with Havdalah together on the same cup of wine. Manich l'achar mazon, so he pushes it off. He leaves the wine for after the meal. And then, umishal shalon kunan la'achrov. And he will link all them together. He will line up the other brachas after the meal, after Birchas HaMazon. So, first will be Birchas HaMazon, then the yayin, ma'ar, besamim, and finally Havdalah. Says the Gemara, this Raisa clearly says that Yayin comes before Yayin. First he begins with Hagafen, and finally, all at the end, the last item is Havdalah, which is Birchas HaYayin. So this is a kasha, a stira, to what Beis Shammai says, that one is meant to recite first Birchas HaYayin and then Birchas HaYayin. Says, well, 1 second. V'ha mimai de Beis Shammai. How do you know this Raisa of Nichlas L'Beisa is actually following Beis Shammai's Shita? Then what Beis Hillel? Perhaps it's Beis Hillel's opinion, who hold that indeed Birchas Hayayin is meant to precede Birchas Hayayin. So what's your question on Beis Shammai? Says the Gemara, Lois HaGadaita. He can't say that it's Beis Hillel and not Beis Shammai. Why? Because let's take a closer look at the Braisa. The Ketani Mor V'Achach B'Samim. The Braisa says, he's Mevarech Al Hayayin V'Al Amor V'Al B'Samim. So first comes the Mor, the Bracha on the flame, and then comes the Bracha on the B'Samim. Uman Shamasli, this last Svara. Who's the author of this opinion? Beis Shammai. It's Beis Shammai, the Sani, as we learned. Omar Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the Gemara will bring us two versions of this machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in the case where one is going to combine his Berachas HaMazon with his Havdalah, make this joint ceremony. So we have one version, one approach. If Reb Meir mentioned our mission in the beginning of the Perek, it's Reb Meir's approach to the machlekes of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We have another approach, another version of this same machlekes. We have Rabbi Yehuda's approach. It says in what the Sani has relented in the Brayas. Om Rabbi Yehuda. Lo nechalku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. All agree, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree, that ala mazon shebetchila, that Birchas HaMazon is the first item to be recited. There's no argument about that. Val Havdalah shebesayif, all agree that Havdalah is the last item. What then is the machlekes? Al ma nechalku? Al amar v'la psamim. The dispute is only regarding Ma'ar and Psamim. Shebeis Shammai oimim Ma'ar v'achach Psamim. First Ma'ar and then Psamim. But still, I'm just the opposite. B'samim v'achach Ma'ar. First B'samim and then Ma'ar. So now, according to this version of events, according to Rabbi Yehuda's presentation of the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, who holds that Ma'ar comes first and then B'samim? It's Beis Shammai. So apparently this Braisa of Anichas L'Beis Moitzei Shabbos, which cites Mar before Psamim, is following the sheet of Beis Shammai. So, 1 second. Why is it necessary? Why is it necessarily so? Umimai de Beis Shammai hivali Rabbi Yehuda. How do you know to connect this brisa of Anichas L'Beisai to the sheet of Beis Shammai in according to Rabbi Yehuda's version? Perhaps we have another suggestion. Dilma Beis Hillel hivali Rabbi Meir. Perhaps it's following Beis Hillel's view. according to Rav Meir's version. Rav Meir holds that this indeed is Rav Meir's Hillel Shita, that first comes Mar, and then comes the Summer. We'll take a look at our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Beis Hillel Omrim Ner Ubisamim Umazim V'Avdala. So this is Rav Meir's version of the Machlokes B'Sham Beis Hillel, in the case when one makes a joint ceremony of Birchas Hamazon with Avdala. What is the Shita Beis Hillel? First Ner and then Besamim. So certainly this Brayis of Nichas L'Beisai, of course it could be following Beis Hillel Shita, according to the version of Rav Meir. So you have no reason, you have no grounds to connect this Brayis of Nichas L'Beisai to Beis Shammai, and therefore you have no Kasha on Beis Shammai. So there's more Lo Yisalka Daito. You can't say that either. Why? Diktana Yachav Masnisen. Because by us and our Mishnah, what does it say? Meaning, what is Rav Meir's presentation of the Machlokes B'Sham Beis Hillel? It says as follows. Beis Shammai Omrim Ner Umazoin Ubsamim V'Avdol. Ubis Hillel Omrim Ner Ubsamim Mazim V'Avdol. So according to Rav Meir's approach, according to Rav Meir's version of events, all agree, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel both agree, what is the first item? The first bracha is Ner. What is the final item? Havdalah. The Machlokes is regarding Mazon and Psamim. Beis Shammai say Mazon, then Psamim. Beis Hillel say Psamim and then Mazon. Now, if so, let's take a look at the Braisa. You want to suggest that the Braisa of Nechzel Beisa will be following Beis Hillel Shita according to Rav Meir's version. Let's take a close look at the Braisa. V'hasam Braisa Gatani. What does it say in the Braisa? In the latter part of the Braisa, it says, if he only has one cup, he waits for after the meal, and he links everything, he lines everything up after Birchas HaMazon. So first comes Birchas HaMazon, and then comes everything else. Apparently, this is not Rav Meir's version of events. According to Rav Meir, Mazon is never in the beginning. According to Rav Meir, all agree, Bisham and Sil both agree, that Mazon is never the first item to be recited. So apparently, this Braisa can't be following Rav Meir's Shita. It can't be going along with Rav Meir's version of events. Apparently, it's following Rav Yehuda's version of events. Rav Yehuda holds that all agree that Mazon is the first item to be recited. So therefore, this Braisa, which says Mazon comes first, certainly it's following Rav Yehuda's version. Now, within Rav Yehuda, which Shita is this based on? Is it Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel? Certainly it's Beis Shammai. Why? As we mentioned earlier, because the Braisa of Anichas L'Beisa tells us, Mazon comes first, then Yayin, then Mar, and then Psamim. First Mar, and then Psamim. And this indeed is Shita's Beis Shammai. So once again, to summarize the Gemara, we have two approaches, two presentations of the Machlekes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, in the event where one combines the Birchas HaMazon with the Havdalah together in one ceremony. We have Rav Meir's approach, Rav Meir, which is cited in our Mishnah, who holds that all agree, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree, that Ner is the first item, Havdalah is the last item. The Machlekes is merely regarding Mazon and Besamim. According to Beis Shammai, it's Mazon and then Besamim. According to Beis Hillel, just the opposite. We have Rav Yehuda's presentation. Rav Yehuda holds that all agree that the first item is Mazon, the last bracha is Havdalah. The Machlekes between Beis Shammai still is regarding the Mar and the Besamim. According to Beis Shammai, the Mar comes first and then the Besamim. According to Beis Hillel, first the Besamim and then the Mar. Now, regarding the Braisa of Anichnas Lebeisi Moitzei Shabbos, where the Braisa lists the order as follows, first Mazon, then Yayin, Mar, Besamim, and Havdalah. Apparently, this is following the Shita of Beis Shammai according to Rav Yehuda, who holds that Mazon is the first item, Havdalah is the last item. And why is Mar before Besamim? Because this is Shita's Beis Shammai. If so, says the Gemara, according to this conclusion, kasha. Now we have a very strong kasha, because we have a stira contradiction in Beis Shammai. We have Beis Shammai in our Mishnah, which tells us that when we have a choice of Birchas Hayoim and Birchas Hayayin, the bracha that relates to the Kedushas Hayoim and the bracha of Hagofen on the wine, what comes first? Beis Shammai holds the Birchas Hayoim comes first. And in this Braisa of Anichnas L'Beis Moitzei Shabbos, which is following the Shita Beis Shammai, what does it say? What comes first? Yayin or Yayim? The Braisa says the first item is Yayin, and only at the end is Havdalah, which is Birchas Hayoim. Mikom kam kasha, it's a contradiction. Says the Gemara, Kasavri Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai will hold. You know, you equated Kiddush to Havdalah. We must make a distinction There's a big difference between the two. Shani Yula Yom Mafuki Yom is different between Kiddush and Havdalah. There's a difference between bringing in the day Yula Yom Kiddush, which is on the onset of Shabbos, you're bringing in the Kiddush of Shabbos. That is different than Havdalah, which is Mafuki Yom from Havdalah, which departs, which is a departing of Shabbos. It's taking out the day. It's removing Kiddush of Shabbos. Explains it more. In Yuli Yayma, when we're bringing in the day, when we're ushering Shabbos, Kamo de Makdamina le Adif. The earlier we do it, the better. Therefore, in that case, it makes sense to do Kedusha Sayyam first. However, Afuka Yayma, when we depart from Shabbos, Kamo de Machrina le Adif. The longer we delay, the better. Therefore, even according to Beis Shammai, by Havdalah, we're meant to delay the Bracha of Havdalah until the end, until the very end. In that case, Beis Shammai agree that Yayin will come first and Havdalah will be left for later. Because we want to delay the departing of Shabbos. Why? So that it doesn't appear that Shabbos is like a burden on us, we're trying to relieve ourselves of the burden. Therefore, we wait, we delay with the bracha of Havdalah. Continues the Gemara. Okay, so we have a discussion regarding Birchas Hamazon together with Havdalah. Apparently, Beis Shammai maintain that one is meant to make Birchas Hamazon on a cup of wine on the Kosher Bracha. Is that so? V'savri Beis Shammai. Birchas Hamazon to Unakos, that Birchas Hamazon requires a cup. V'atnan, we've learned, Bolehem Yain Lachar Hamazon. They will serve wine after the meal, meaning before Birchas Hamazon. And he would like to drink the wine. Im Ein Shem Kos Elohu. If there's only one cup of wine available, first he makes a bracha gafen on the wine, and then he benches. Apparently, says the Gemara, my love, don't varach liyavishasilei. He makes a bracha on a gafen, he drinks it, and then he proceeds with brachas hamazon with add a kais shal yain. So we see that it's not a requirement. Says the Gemara, no, loy, that's not the true interpretation. What the Mishnah means is don't. He makes a bracha gafen on the wine, umanachle, but then he leaves it for Birchas Hamazon, so that he can make Birchas Hamazon with a cup of wine. Says the Gemara, how can one make a bracha without tasting it? Haven't we learned how a varech tzarech sheyitim? He's meant to taste it. Says the Gemara, the term, lady, right, he tastes it. But he can still leave it over for Birchas Hamazon. He just tastes a little bit. We learned that if one tastes the cup of wine, Pogmai, he makes it a pogmai, it gives it a blemish. And it can't be used anymore for Birchas Hamazon. So it's the Tomei Biyadei, simple solution. He tastes it by spilling a bit into his hand, and he tastes it from there. He doesn't actually taste it from the cup. So he's not pogim the wine, he can still use it for Birchas Hamazon. Says the Tomei, haven't we learned, Koishal Bracha Tzerech Shir, that a Koishal Bracha requires a specific shir. V'alka Pachas Lame Shi'uri, by tasting it, he minimizes the shir. And now, he doesn't have the required amount of Birchas Hamazon. Says the Gemara, that too is not a problem. The Nafesh, like Tei Mishiyuri, he started off with more than a required amount, which allows him to taste it, and still leaves enough available for the Birchas Hamazon. Says the Gemara, is that so? He had more than the required amount. The Mishnah clearly says that he only has one cup of wine. Apparently, he doesn't have any extra. Says the Gemara, Trei Lo Havi. He didn't have enough for two. But umichad nafish, but he had a bit more than the minimum requirement. So he had a bit more, and that little bit more he can taste after he makes the hagafen and leave the rest over for kosher bracha of Birchas Hamazon, which is indeed the required amount for the kosher bracha. So at this point in the Gemara, Beis Shammai certainly holds that a Birchas Hamazon is ton kos, requires a kos. In the case when he only has one available, so he can make the bracha and taste a bit, and leave the rest over for Birchas Hamazon. Says more, is that so? V'atani Reb Chiya Beis Shammai Oimim Baruch Al Yayin V'Sheiseyu. He drinks the wine, V'achach Baruch Birchas Hamazon, and then proceeds to Birchas Hamazon. Apparently, Beis Shammai do not require a kosher bracha for Birchas Hamazon. Says more, Ella, rather you must say Trei Tanoi V'Aliba de Beis Shammai. There indeed are two opinions according to Beis Shammai. There's Reb Chiya who holds that Beis Shammai don't require a kosher bracha Birchas Hamazon. However, the Tana of our Mishnah indeed holds that, according to Beis Shammai, a kosher bracha is required for Birchas Hamazon. And certainly, he should not drink the wine prior to Berachas HaMazon, but rather he should leave it over so that he has a kosher bracha when he benches. So, in summary, Aliba de Beis Shammai, what is the Shita of Beis Shammai? So, according to Rabbi Yehuda's version of events, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Beis Shammai's sequence is as follows. First, Mazon, then Mar B'Samim, and then Havdalah. The Braisa, which says, HaNichas LeBeis Maitzoy Shabbos, he's meant to proceed as follows. When he had his meal, he's meant to say Mazon first, then Yain, Mar B'Samim, and Havdalah. Apparently, this is following Beis Shammai's opinion. Now, regarding the requirement for a kosher bracha by Berachas HaMazon, according to this braisa, certainly Beis Shammai requires a kosher Berachas HaMazon. However, according to Rav Chiya, it is not required. According to Rav Chiya, Berachas HaMazon, Eina to Unakos, one may drink the wine and then proceed with Berachas HaMazon without a kosher bracha. Now, Tosis asked the kasha on the braisa before, how is he allowed to have his meal before Havdalah? Tosis has a whole discussion and concludes, and he says that this is different. It's different than just plain eating before Havdalah. He says, Tosis, Hacha Shani, it's different. The Kasava Brechas HaMazon to Una Kois. Because this braisa holds the Brechas HaMazon requires a Kosher Bracha. Ulakach Manichoi, the Brechas HaMazon. Therefore, he should leave the Kois for Brechas HaMazon. Since Brechas HaMazon requires a Kois, he shouldn't merely make Havdalah and then eat. He should wait with his Havdalah after his meal, when he could do the Berachas HaMazon with a kais and join it together with the Havdalah ceremony as we described earlier. Continues the Gemara, Beis Shammai Oimrim, Tana Rabbanan, Wilna Tana Braisa. Beis Shammai Oimrim, Noitlun Laidayim, V'acha Kach Moizgim Es HaKais. First one washes his hands for the meal, and then they pour him the cup of wine, and he drinks it. Why in this manner, why in this order, first until Sadaim, and then drink the wine? Says the Gemara, if you maintain that one will do it in the reverse, first he will pour himself a cup and drink it, and only then wash his hands until sedayim, to be metayer his hands for the meal, there's a problem with that. What is the problem? Gzeira, there's a concern. Shema, yitamo mashkin shachar yakos. Perhaps the mashkin that are present, the liquid that is present on the back of the cup, perhaps there's some liquid there, and that will become tame, will contract a tuma, machmas yadav, through his hands that are not yet tar. He hasn't yet washed his hands. His hands have a din of a sheni l'tuma. The Rabbanon applied a tuma of sheni l'tuma to one's hands prior to washing them. So if he doesn't wash his hands, he can be metame the mashkim that are present on the side of the cup. And what's wrong with that? V'yachzor v'yitamos hakois. And then this mashkin that becomes tame, this liquid that becomes tame through one's hands, will in turn go ahead and transfer tuma to the actual kois, to the cup itself. And then he will be using a cup which is tame during his meal, and one may not do so, as the Gemara will explain later. Therefore, Beis Shammai say, first, one is meant to wash his hands, to do netilas hadayim, to mitayer his hands, and then go ahead and pour himself the wine and drink the wine with hands that are tar. Okay, says the Gemara, just one second. Let's analyze these words. Beis Shammai say, there's a concern if he doesn't wash his hands, then he might be metame the liquid that is present on the back of the cup, and the liquid will go ahead and be metame the cup. Says the Gemara, why do you need the liquid in between? If his hands are tame, the hands itself will be metame the kois. Says, well, that won't work. That won't happen because yodayim shniyaisim. Yodayim have a din of a sheni letuma. And a sheni letuma can't be metame the kois directly. Now we know that there are different levels of tuma. There's an avatuma, the source of tuma, like a nevela, that animal. If something comes into contact with a avatuma, he becomes a rishon letuma, that is a downgraded level of tuma. The first degree tumah. Now, if a rishon letumah will touch something else, food or drink, that will become a sheni letumah, a lower level of tumah. Now we know that a person or a utensil, adam v'kelim, can only become tameh from a avatumah. Therefore, says the Gemara, this person with his hands that are merely sheni l'tumah, the Chacham enacted, established, applied a tumah of sheni l'tumah to one's hands prior to washing them for Tehillat Sadai. His sheni l'tumah hands can't be matamei kois. Says the Gemara, yadayim shni oisein, ve'eine shneini oisei shlishi b'chulun elei demashkim. A sheni can't make a shlishi when it is chulun, only through the medium of mashkim, of liquid. Meaning that we have the av, the source, which carries over to the rishon, which carries over to the sheni, and it stops there. It doesn't go past sheni when we are dealing with chulin. The Gemara later will explain that regarding truma, truma can become a shlishi as well. But a sheni cannot go, a chulin cannot go past a sheni. When it is a non-truma item, the most it will go to is a sheni. And certainly the yadayim that are sheni, they can't be matame a kli. They can't make the kli into a shlishi. Therefore, the yadayim will not be matame the kli any longer. The only way that it could happen is through mashkim. Why? Because the rabbanim, the chachamim, made an exception to the rule. Although ordinarily, a av makes a rishon makes a sheni, and it stops there. There is an exception of mashkim liquids, those seven liquids, water, wine, etc., those shiva mashkim, they have a special status. The Chacham said that mashkim that become tummy, even if they're only a sheni lituma, we regard them as a rishon lituma. They have the status of a rishon lituma. Why? It's a gzera because there are some liquids that have really a status of a avatuma. For instance, the saliva of a zav has a din of avatuma and can be metame a kli. Therefore, the Chachamim applied a more stringent tumah to these liquids and regarded them as a rishon l'tumah, and they in turn could go be metameh a kli. Although ordinarily a kli cannot become metameh only from an ava tumah, not a rishon l'tumah. However, the Chachamim made an exception once again. They said that a liquid, a mashkim, not only does it have a more stringent level of tumah, it is considered to be always a rishon l'tumah. That's one exception to the rule. The second exception to the rule is that a mashkin, which has the status of rishon tumah, can go ahead and be metame a kli. So once again, there's an ava tumah, the source of tumah, which carries over to a rishon tumah, which carries over to a sheni tumah, and stops there if it's chulin. If it's truma, it can carry over to become a shlishi. Now, there are two exceptions regarding mashkim liquids. Mashkim are always considered to be a rishon tumah midrabanan. The second exception is that although ordinarily a person or utensil, Adam v'kelim, can only become tummy from an avatuma, not from a rishon, certainly not from a sheni, there is an exception to the rule that is regarding mashkin, a liquid, which as we just mentioned, has always the status of a rishon l'tuma. It can go ahead and be tummy, even a kli, and make it into a sheni. So that explains this gemara. Beishamay say, wash your hands before you touch the cup. Why? Because perhaps there are mashkim there. There's a liquid there. The yadayim that are sheni will be mitame the mashkim. Now the liquid will become a rishon. The rabbanon. The rishon, the mashkim that are rishon, can in turn go ahead and be mitame the kli when it comes into contact with the kli and make the kli into a sheni, thereby making the cup tame. And one is not allowed to use a cup which is tame during his meal. Says the Gemara once again, Yadayim Shni Yosem, Yadayim have a din of a sheni l'tuma, ve'in sheni yose shlishi b'chulin. A sheni can't pass on tuma, can't make a shlishi. Ella, there's one exception, Ella de mashkim, through the medium of mashkim. Therefore, when his Yadayim will touch the mashkim, they will become a rishon, and they will be tamei the kli, and the kli will become tamei. And one may not use a kli that is tamei, according to Beis Shammai. Therefore, wash your hands first. So that explains the opinion of Beis Shammai. Ubisilam, no, it's not a concern. Mois gonna start kois first, pour the wine, drink the wine. Afterwards, only then wash your hands. Why? Because according to Ubisilam, there's a concern in the reverse, as he will explain. Because if you will hold that, one is meant to wash his hands first. He will wash his tefillos for the meal before he drinks the wine. Now we have a gzera, we have a concern as follows. Gzera shamiyat hamo mashkin shu yadayim machmas akois. Perhaps he's using a kais which is tummy, since one is allowed to use a kais which is tummy during the meal, as the Gemara will explain later. So perhaps he's using such a kais, and if you require him to wash his hands until he dies, perhaps there's some remnants of water on his hands. He has mashkim on his hands. And now what will happen when he handles this kais which is tummy? Yitamu mashkim should be a daim. The liquid on his hands will become tummy machmasa kais by coming into contact with the kais which is tummy. And what will happen then? V'yachsru v'yitamu si yadayim. And the mashkim, the water on his hands, will just become tummy from the kais. What happens to them? They become a stringent tumah. They become a rishon l'tumah. As we mentioned earlier, the Chachamim applied a more stringent tumah to mashkim. So now that the water on his hand became a rishon l'tumah, it's going to go ahead and be metami the hands. V'yachzur metami se yadayin, metami his hands, make his hands a shein l'tumah. And this will invalidate his netilas yadayim. It defeats the purpose. What's the point of washing your hand before handling the cup, when it might result in his hands becoming tame, which will invalidate the tilas yadayim? Therefore, better drink the wine first and put that behind you, and then go ahead and proceed with the tilas yadayim for the meal. Says, well, okay, you understand, but let's just analyze these words. You're concerned that the cup, which is tame, will be metame the mashkim on his hands, which in turn will pass on the tumah to his hands. Why do you need the medium of the mashkim, the intermediary? Why do you need the water there? If the kais is tummy, then the concern is very direct. The kais will metame his hands. And if so, what are you gaining by pushing off until sadaim, until later, after he already drank the wine? So let's say he washes later, and then during the meal, he's going to use this same cup again. At this point, the cup again will be metame his hands. So what do you gain by doing until sadaim later? V'netame kaisle adayim, the cup itself will be metame his hands later on during the meal. Says the Gemara, Ein kli metame adam. This kli, which is a sheni letuma, will not be metame the hands of a person. Doesn't have the power to do so. Therefore, it's only on account of the mashkim that are present on his hands that his hands could become tummy when the kais is metame the mashkim, which makes the mashkim into a rishon, which in turn is metame his hands to make it into a sheni. So that explains Beis Hillel. Says the Gemara, Beis Hillel indicated that one will use a cup which is tummy during the meal. How can he do so? The kli will be metame its contents, the liquids that are inside the kli. And he'll be drinking mashkim that are tummy. Says Gemara, no. Hacha, we're speaking about a specific type of kli that became tummy with a specific type of tumah. B'kli shenitru achoyer v'mashkim askinu. We're speaking about a kli that became a tummy, tumah d'rabbanan, through touching, coming into contact with mashkim that are tummy, that are arishim d'rabbanan. As we mentioned, that liquids attain the higher status of a rishon l'tumah midrabanan. Now, a kli that comes into contact with this mashkin, me'achorav, on the back of the kli, in this case, only the back is tameh and not the inside. Why? Because this tumah is merely midrabanan. Because the fact that we regard mashkin in this higher degree of tumah, we regard him as a rishon l'tumah and give them the ability to be metameh kli, that is merely midrabanan. And therefore the Rabbanan applied leniencies to this. And in the case where the mashkim was metami the kli me'acher from behind, only the back is tummy, and not the inside. Therefore, the contents will still be tar. Explains the Gemara. Hacha b'kli shenitma acheru v'mashkin askina. We're speaking about a kli whose back came into contact with mashkin that are tummy. The toichei tar, but the inside remains tar. The gabay tummy and the back is tummy. This is not as we learned. Kli shenitma acheru v'mashkin acheru v'tmeim. The back is tummy, but toichai, the inside, the oignoi, and its ear-shaped handle, the oznoi, its rim that is curled outwardly, and it could be used on its own, the yadav, its straight handle, toirim, so all the other parts of the kli retain their purity as still toir. Only the back, the achir of the kli is tummy. However, nitma toichai, but if the inside of the kli became tummy through mashkim, in that case, the tumah extends to the entire kli. We don't differentiate. It touched the main part of the kli, so the whole kli becomes tummy. So once again, this explains the halacha mentioned earlier. a kli that is tamei on account of it having come into contact with mashkim that are tamei. The mashkim touched its achir of its back. Only the achirayim becomes tamei. Since this is only a tumah midrabanan, we're speaking about mashkim that are considered to be a rishon tumah midrabanan. Therefore, only the back is tamei, but the inside and the contents will remain tor. Okay, so now we have a framework, an introduction to the machlekes of Bisham Mesil. Bisham hold, first you wash your hands so that you aren't mitzhamei the kli. According to Beis Hillel, wash your hands only later so that the kli, which is tamei, won't be mitzhamei your hands. Wait until the time until you finish drinking. Do away with this kli that is tamei and then wash your hands and proceed with your meal. Why? Because the kli that is tamei perhaps has liquids on its outside, because the kli that is tamei will be matame perhaps the liquid that is on his hands and be matame the person. Therefore, first drink, then wash your hands and proceed with the meal. Now during the meal, apparently, they still hold, you can use this kli, which is tamei. As Rashi explains, we're not concerned that his hands will be wet during the meal, so there's no concern that the kli be matame the person. So we have a framework for the machlekes b'sham Yisrael. But what is that based on? Says the word, but my kamiflik, what is the root of this machlekes? B'shamei savri, also l'shtamesh b'kli, shenit machoy v'mashkin. B'shamei hold that one is not allowed to use a kli whose back became tamei through mashkin. And therefore, B'shamei hold that first, be matar your hands, be not till you die, make sure your hands are atar before handling this cup. Don't be matame the cup, because you cannot use a cup that is tamei during the meal. Why not? Says Zimur, gzeir shem and tzoytzoys. We're concerned about the droplets. If the kli will be tamei, then perhaps there will be droplets of the liquid which will land on the outside of the kli, and the outside which is tamei will be tamei those nitzoytzoys. And now that those nitzoytzoys, those droplets of liquids become tamei, they attain a higher status to become a rishon l'tumah. And they in turn will be metame the hands that come into contact with them and invalidate his until sadaim. Therefore, to sum it up, according to Shammai, don't use a kli that became tame achirav, the back of it, through mashkim. Therefore, v'leka lemigzar shema yitzmu amashkim should be a daim b'kais. Now this explains Shammai. Why was Shammai not concerned with Beis Hillel's concern that perhaps the kli will be metame his hands? If he washes his hands first, there will be a remnant of water on his hands which will become tummy through the kli that is tummy. No, you can't use such a kli. Therefore, it's not around. It's not something to reckon with. Again, v'leka l'migzer. There's no room to be geizer shema yitmu amashkin. Perhaps the mashkin in his hands will become tummy through the kais. There's no concern. Therefore, Rishama maintain, the preferred way to do it is wash your hands, make your hands tur, so that you're not matame the kli, because you can't use a kli that is tame during the meal. But they're not concerned with Beis Hillel's chashash that the kli will be matame the remnants of Nesitil Sedayim, because you can't use a kli that is tame. So that fully explains Beis Shammai's opinion, why they have their concern, but not Beis Hillel's concern. Explains the Gemara, Beis Hillel savri, Beis Hillel hold in the reverse. One may use this kli that became tamei and tumah d'rabanan by contacting mashkin from its back. Why? They're not concerned with these droplets. Amri, they say it's not common to have these droplets. Therefore, there's no concern in using. There's no problem using a kli which is tamei me'achirav. There's no concern of droplets landing there and becoming tamei and then going and being tamei the hands. There's no concern. Therefore, you may use a kli which is tamei b'mashkin me'achirav. So Beis Shammai's concern is not a concern, meaning we're not concerned with his hands being mektami the kli. The only concern is in the reverse. This kli that he's using, this tummy kli that he's using, he's allowed to use, will be mektami his hands if he washes his hands first. Vika lemechash, what is the concern? Shema yitama mashim shu yadayim machmas hakois. If he washes first, he'll have remnants of water on his hands, and the kli which is tummy will be mektami the water, and in turn will be mektami his hands and validate his until sadaim. So that is the background of Beis Hillel. Another reason for Beis Hillel, take it from until sadaim suda. One is meant to eat immediately following until sadaim without interruption. Therefore, Beis Hillel maintain that one is meant to wash until sadaim immediately, right before the meal. Don't interrupt with drinking wine. So the Gemara for Ach, why don't you need another reason? This is what Beis Hillel is saying to Beis Shammai. Lidetchu, according to you, the amris that you say you maintain also l'shtamish b'kli shacharet tmei. You may not use this tamei kli. Why the gazrinim shemini tzoytzoys? We're concerned about the droplets. So even according to you, granted, let's say this is a concern. Afilu hachi, even so, ha'adifa. It is better to wash later. The tekev l'ntil sedayim su. This is halacha. That the ntil sedayim is meant to be immediately, right next to, in close proximity to the meal. Therefore, your chashash, your concern about the droplets being present and bringing about tumah to the hands, perhaps that's a concern, but it doesn't measure up. It doesn't equate in its severity, in its significance, to the halacha of tekev l'ntil sedayim suda. Therefore, certainly, one should first drink, then proceed with Til Sedaim, and then immediately following with the Suda. So, conclusion, Beis Shammai holds, Noitlin Le'Yadayim, first you wash your hands, and then you Moizek the Kais. Why? It's a two-step process, a two-step argument. Number one, Beis Shammai hold, is Asur Lishtamech Bekli, Shenitra Achayiv Remashkin. We may not use this Tamei Kli. Why? Because of the nitzaitzais that might be present on the back of the kli, which will be metame's hands. So one may not use this kli that is tame. And if so, the proper sequence is first, noitlin yadayim. First, be metar your hands so that they don't go be metame the mashkim, which is found on the side of the kais. And in turn, those mashkim will be metame the kais. Therefore, one is meant to wash his hands first and then drink the wine. According to Beis Hillel, it's just the opposite. Beis Hillel hold first Moizgin HaKois and then Noitlin Le'Yadayim. Why? It's a three-step argument. Number one, they hold Mutal Lishtamish in this Kli Shenitim HaChorev. They're not concerned with those droplets. It's not common. Therefore, since we're allowed to use a Kli that's Tamei, that became Tamei and Tumah D'Rabbanon, therefore the proper way is first to drink. First Moizgin. Why? Perhaps he's using this type of Kli that's Tamei. And if he washes his hands first, we're concerned that the kli will be metame the leftover water on his hands, and we metame his hands, and we'll invalidate his until sedaim. Therefore, one is first meant to drink. Do away with that, and then wash your hands for until sedaim. Number three, Beis Hillel say, is halacha. Tekev until sedaim suda. One is not meant to interrupt between until sedaim and the meal. Therefore, first drink, then wash your hands, and then proceed with the meal. Continues the Gemara, Beis Shammai Oimrim Tana Rabbanan. One dries his hands in the towel and places it on the table. If you propose that he should place it on the cushion, there's a problem. We have a concern. That the liquid contained inside this wet towel will contract tumah, will receive tumah on account of it coming into contact with the pillow, with the keses that is tummy. Shema yitomu mashin shibem mapa machmas hakeses. And what will happen? What's so bad? V'yachsru v'yitomu sayadayim. And then when he uses this towel throughout the meal, the liquids inside the towel, which is now a rishon l'tumah, as we said earlier, liquid that becomes tummy always becomes a rishon l'tumah. So the rishon l'tumah will now be metame's hands and make them a sheni, and this will invalidate his until sedayim. Therefore, place it on the table, which the table is certainly tar, and will not be metame the mapa or its liquid. So, okay, we understand. But why did Beis Shammai need to say it in this roundabout fashion? That the concern is that the pillow will be metame the liquid, which will be metame his hands. Why don't you go more direct? V'netzmai keses l'mapa. Why can't the keses be metame the mapa directly without the medium of the liquids, of the moisture found inside the towel? Says more, that won't happen. Because ain kli, metame kli, a kli which is not an avatuma, will never be metame another kli. Therefore, the keses, which is not an avatuma, perhaps it's a rishon l'tuma, so that cannot be metame the mapa, which is considered to be a kli. Therefore, only through the medium of the mashkim can there be a tuma, when the keses transfers tumah into the mashkim, which become a rishon, and that gets transferred over to the hands, which become a sheni. Says the Gemara, "Tumay keses legaver gufei." Why do you need a towel with a liquid? The keses will be metame the person directly. Says the Gemara once again, "Ain kli metame adam." A kli which is not an avatuma cannot be metame a person. And therefore, the keses, which is not an avatuma, can't be metame the person. It's only through the medium of this procedure with the mashkim that the person can become tame. Rashi points out, although midrabanan, if one touches even a rishon letuma, his hands become tame, tumas yadayim, says Rashi, so make sure not to touch it with his hands and avoid that tumas yadayim. So there's no concern about the keses being metame the person directly. It is only through the water, and therefore place the towel on the table, which avoids this whole concern. So that explains Beis Shammai. Ubesil oimrim, you should place the towel ala keses, specifically on the cushion. Why? Shema to oimrim ala shulchan, if you place it on the table. Gzera, there's a concern. There's a concern for tumah there. Shema, yitamu mashkin shuva mapa machmas ha-shulchan. Since the table itself might be tumah, might be a shein l'tumah. So, if he places the wet towel on the table, what's going to happen? The shulchan will be metame the moisture found in the towel, the yachzer tamei sa'oichlan, and then that in turn will be metame the food on the table. So, don't place this wet towel, this towel on the table because it might be wet and it might become tamei and be metame the oichlan. Says the Gemara, why does Reish Hillel need to say it in this roundabout way? The table will be metame the moisture, metame the oichlan. For the tamei shulchan lo oichlan shebesoichlan, the table should directly be metame the food that is placed on it. Says the Gemara, that's never a concern. Hocha b'shulchan sheni askinan. Since we're speaking about a shulchan which has a din of sheni letuma, and we know that a sheni doesn't pass on tuma if it's chulin. It starts with Av to Rishon over to Sheni and stops right there. Therefore, the Shulchan, which is merely a Sheni, cannot be Matame, the food or the beverages which is found on it, because Ve'en Sheni Oysa Shlishi B'chulim. The only way it can be Matame the food is Elai De Mashkim, through the medium of liquid. And therefore, although the table won't be Matame the food directly, but it can be Matame the food by means of transferring the tumah through the mashkim that is found in this wet towel. So don't place the towel on the table, because the table might be metame the liquid, which becomes now a rishon letumah. As I mentioned earlier, liquids become a din of rishon letumah darbanan. Therefore, that in turn can go be metame the oichlan mashkim, make them a shein letumah. Says, well, okay, we have a presentation, but what is the root of their machlokes? But my kamiflagi beishamay savri also lishtamish b'shulchan sheni. One is not permitted to use a shulchan which is a sheni l'tumah, gzeira mishamoich l'tumah, because we're concerned about the kohanim that eat truma. And as we know, truma can become tumah from a sheni l'tumah. Truma can become a shlishi. Therefore, generally speaking, we don't allow a person, even a Yisrael, who's not eating truma, we don't allow him to use a table which is tumah, which is a sheni l'tumah. Therefore, according to Beis Shammai, this man's table certainly is tamar, is tar. It's not tamay, therefore place the towel on the table where it won't become tamay, rather than placing it on the keses, on the cushion, which might be tamay. Ubisil savvy on that hand, Bisil old. No, mutalish tamish, b'shulchan sheni. We're allowed to use a table which is a sheni l'tuma. Ayuchle truma zrizimim. The ones that eat truma, the kahanim, are conscientious, and therefore we're not concerned about their food becoming tamay, they're careful. Therefore, one is allowed to use a table which is a sheni l'tumah, since by chulin there will be no tumah here, because the sheni doesn't make a shlishi by chulin. So based on this machlekes, which is the root of their machlekes earlier, again, according to Beis Shammai, one may not use a table which is tumah, and according to Beis Hillel, one may use a table which is tumah. Based on this, we understand their earlier machlekes. According to Beis Shammai, the table will be tar, therefore place the towel on the table rather than on the keses, on the cushion which might be tummy. According to Beis Hillel, the reverse. The table might be tummy, therefore place it on the cushion. Continues the Gemara Dover Acha, another reason for Beis Hillel. There's no source for the obligation to wash one's hands prior to eating chulin. There's no source in the Torah. So the Gemara, my Dover Acha, why do we need another reason for Beis Hillel? This is what they mean to tell Beis Shammai. If you will counter and you will say as follows, I instruct the person to put the towel on the cushion, not on the table. Don't put it on the table, it might become tame and be metame de oichlan. Why are you concerned regarding tuma for oichlan? Why are you not concerned regarding putting the towel on the cushion, where it could become tameh from the cushion, and then in turn, the liquid contained in the towel could become tameh his hands. Why are you not concerned about that? Meaning, you're avoiding the tum of the oichlim, but you're not addressing the tum of the yadayim. Meaning, according to Beis Shammai, we're avoiding tumah altogether. Place it on the table where there's no possibility of tumah, and thereby you are avoiding any possibility of becoming tameh. According to Beis Hillel, okay, so he doesn't put it on the table. He doesn't want to be metameh the oichlim, so he's avoiding tumas oichlim. But by placing it on the cushion, he might encounter tumas yadayim, because the cushion might be tameh, might be metameh the towel, which might be metameh the person's hands. Says Beis Hillel, afilu hachi, even so hadifa, this is better. Better place it on the cushion and avoid tumas oichlim, because that's our primary concern. Dein until sedayim echol matira. Until sedayim for chulam doesn't have a source from the Torah, and therefore mutav, it is good, it is okay. Sheyitmu yadayim less likum deraisa, that hands should become tamei, since the obligation to wash one's hands has no source from deraisa. Mutav sheyitamu yadayim the less likum deraisa, is better that the hands become tamei, since the tumas yadayim have no ikum deraisa, not source in the Torah, and as long as you avoid the tumas oichlim. Avoid placing it on the table, which might result in tumas oichlin, because val yitamu tumas oichlin, as long as you avoid tumas oichlin, the is loikum deraisa, because the concept of tumah by food is a source in the Torah, and therefore that is more important. That is our primary concern. We're not concerned with the hands becoming tumah, we're concerned only with the food becoming tumah. Therefore, don't put the towel on the table and don't result in the food becoming tumah. So in conclusion, according to Beis Shammai, you are maniach the mapa on the shulchan. Why? Because number one, it is usur lishtamish b'shulchan sheni. One may not use a shulchan that is tamei because of truma. And therefore, since the table is tamei, put the mapa on the table so that where it remains tar. Don't put it on the keses where it might get tuma from the mapa and be metamei his hands. According to Beis Sil, it's just the opposite. Put the mapa on the keses, because they hold, number one, you're allowed to use the table which is tamei. We're not concerned with the kihanim who are conscientious. Therefore, the shulchan, which is sheni, might be metamei the towel. Therefore, put the towel on the keses and not on the shulchan, where it might get tamei from the shulchan and be metamei the oichlin. They're only concerned with tumas oichlin, which has a source in the Torah and not regarding tumas yadayim. Continues the Gemara, Beshame oimrim mechabdin, Tana Rabbanan. Beshame oimrim mechabdin es habayis. First, you sweep away the food remnants, va'achakach noitin leidayim, and afterwards, you wash my mechrenim. Why? Because if you wash first, nimtza, this may result in nimtza ata mafset es oichlan, you may ruin the food. The remnants that are present, they will get sprayed by the mayim achroinim and get ruined. Aval nitzil sadaim b'shamay tchila, to wash nitzil sadaim first, lo yisvirul b'shamay hold that is not meant to do so. My time of why mishum pirur on account of the food remnants. Ube yisil oimim, no, that's not a concern. Why? If you're using the services of a shamash tamat chacham, a servant who is knowledgeable, in that case, he'll remove the pirurin who noitel im shamash tamat chacham noitel pirurin sheish from kezayis. He certainly will know to remove, to clean up those larger food remnants, the pirurin, the crumbs that are as the size of a kezayis. Umanech pirurin sheish from kezayis. He will leave over the smaller ones that don't have a kezayis, and we're not concerned about them. So since he removes those larger pieces of food, so certainly it's okay. One should wash his hands prior to cleaning up, because the food remnants won't be present during Tel Sedayim. Says the Gemara, this difference between various sizes of remnants is a raya as Mesailer of Yechna. Dom of Yechna, Pirun She'emem Kazais. These small crumbs that don't contain the size of a Kazais, Mutala Abdom Niyad, we may destroy them with our hands. Tosis points out that stepping on them, however, is prohibited. It can bring to anius, to poverty. So in any case, this is a right of Yechanan. We make that distinction between various sizes of food remnants. Okay, so according to Beis Shammai, we wash. We clean first, we wash second. According to Beis Hillel, we wash first and clean second. Says the Rebbe, what is this based on? What is the root of this machlekes? Beis Hillel Savri, also lishtamish v'shamish amaretz. One may not use the services of a shamish, of an ignoramus shamish, and therefore, certainly the shamish will be knowledgeable and know to remove the larger food items from the table prior to my machreinim. So there's no concern. Beis Shammai Savri, no. Mutal lishtamish v'shamish amaretz. One may use the services of a shamish amaretz, therefore, he might not necessarily know to remove the food items. Therefore, warmest, make sure, clean up, and then do my machronim. So in summary, according to Beis Shammai, we are machavdim, we clean up and then we wash. Why? Because we're allowed to use a shamash hamaretz, and we're concerned that food will be present. Therefore, sweep up first, so that the Bar Mechorim don't ruin the food. According to Beis Silel, first we wash, and then we clean up, because we're not allowed to use the shamash hamaretz. And certainly the knowledgeable servant will clean away the food. Therefore, we wash first, and then we clean away the rest. Omer b'yisi v'chanin omer funa. Bekulei Pirkin, regarding all the disputes that we find in this perek, halacha k'beisil, the halacha follows Beisil's opinion. Bar meho, except for this one regarding the question of cleaning up before my machronim. In this case, the halacha k'beishamai, because we went to clean up prior to my machronim. Says the more of Oisha, mas nifcha, he actually switched around the names of the opinion in this machlekes, that Beisil are the ones that say that you clean up first. Says the Gemara, "B'hanami halacha beisil." If so, even in this case, we follow like beisil, because indeed we meant to clean up before my machronim. Continues the Gemara, "B'shama oimrim ner mazon." Rav Huna bar Yehuda ikul beRava. He visited Rava's home. It was Matzah Shabbos. He was making avdola. Chazi leRava. He saw that Rava was making avdola. The baruch absamim bereisha. First, he made the baruch on the absamim, and then later on the fire. So he challenged him. Amar leMichti. Let's take a look. BeShama beisil amar lePligi. There's no dispute between Shammai and Beisil regarding the bracha on the mar. Everybody agrees that the bracha on the flame is meant to be said first. The snana, as we said in our Mishnah, Beis Shammai oimrim ner u'mazon b'samim v'avdolah. Beisil oimrim ner u'psamim u'mazon avdolah. So apparently all agree that ner comes first. So why did you switch things around? Ani Rava Basrei. So Rava responded, Zu divrei Rav Meir. This indeed is Rav Meir's version of events. Av Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda's presentation of the machlokes b'Shammai v'Beis Hillel is entirely different. He said as follows: Lo nechleku b'Shammai v'Beis Hillel. There's no discussion. There's no dispute. Al hamazon shebetchila. The first item is berachas hamazon. Val avdolah shebesoif. Avdolah is meant to be recited last. Al ma nechleku. What is the machlokes? Al amor val absamim. Shebeshammai imim al amor, and then vachach absamim. Beis Hillel imim absamim, and then more. Va'omer Rav Yechanan. No, the prevalent custom is indeed ki Beis Hillel alib Rav Yehuda. We follow the sheet of Beis Hillel in accordance to the way it was presented by Rav Yehuda. And so, according to Beis Hillel, what comes first? First comes besamim, and then mar. That's exactly what I did. Continues the Gemara. We have a machlekes between Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding the bracha on the flame. Beis Shammai say shebara ma'ira eish, and Beis Hillel say boirei ma'irei ha'ish. Explains the Gemara. Amar Rava. Bibara, when you say the word bara, kuli amle pligi, everybody agrees that it means the past. The bara mashma, it's referring to the past. Ki pligi, the discussion between Mishama and Beisil is only what is the machlekes with the word boirei, which has a present tense connotation. Beishami savri, boirei the osid lemivra. Boirei is really referring to the future. It's also referring to the future. It's the present, but it's also ongoing. Hashem creates and recreates and continues to create. Therefore, it's not appropriate to be used for the bracha on the flame where we're thanking Hashem for the past, for having created the flame. It is still a savri, bari nami debara not mashma. Bari can also mean the past. And therefore, it is appropriate for this bracha. Moisir Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef has a kasha, we find psukim where the word bari is certainly referring to the past. Yoytir oyer bari choshech, yoytir harim bari ruach, bari ashamayim v'noiteyem. So we see Boyer reference to the past. Elam Rav Yosef, the Boyer, regarding Bara or Boyer, there's no question. Kolam le'pligi the Bara mashma. Everybody agrees. Beisham and Beisil both agree. It's also referring to the past and would be suitable for this bracha. Ki pligi, the discussion of Machlegis is b'ma'oir regarding the second part of the bracha. Should one say ma'oir, which is a singular term lashon yachid, or ma'irei, which has a plural meaning. The Beisham and Savri, there's one illumination in the fire. Therefore, use the word boirei. There are many illuminations. Rashi has many colors in a fire. And therefore, the term boirei is more appropriate. Many expressions of the fire. There's a braisa which says as well, the Beis Hillel told Beis Shammai, we were meant to say ma'irei. Why? Because harbe ma'irei sheshbar. The fire contains many illuminations, many colors, many expressions. Therefore, ma'irei is more appropriate. It is a plural, a lashon rabim. Ma'irei ha'ish.